There's a place where you can go. Down the creek and to the right, a sycamore tree stands 10 feet high. Long ago and far away, lived a man named Yesterday. On the banks of the old Dead Sea, of the old Dead Sea, planted him a sycamore tree, taken alone.
And I'm here today with Robert Kuhn. That was his song, Low Way, off his latest album, Maria the Gun, released in 2017. Thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
So you've passed through Paonia a few times when you're on tour, and I'm glad that you do. You're going to be playing at the Paonia United Pub on September 15th. And Delicious Orchards on the 21st of September. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Great. And you're based in Texas. Can you tell me a little bit about your background? I know you have some roots in the Houston area.
Well, I was born and raised in the greater Houston area, which is pretty different than Paonia. And it's a big, huge, sprawling city. And I grew up kind of on the outskirts of the city until I was about 18. and then left there and have lived all over the place since then, in Pennsylvania and New York a little bit, in South America and Central America. And now I've kind of moved back to Texas and in Houston. When I'm in the area, I'm in Houston and Galveston all the time, pretty much.
So you guys have seen a lot of weather in the past few years.
So it continues, yeah. I've seen a lot of weather, and it just seems like there's more and more all the time, with the flooding becoming more common occurrence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
So the song that we just heard that we started off the show with, Low Way, the lyrics, I think, in that song are interesting and very relevant. You know, it's sort of about a revolution in consciousness. And you feel that this is something that needs to spread. It's not like countries have to have violent revolutions to affect change. It's more about changing the way people are looking at things in order for us to kind of get together. Kind of reminds me of the 100th monkey idea, where suddenly it all clicks. And I'm wondering, you know, how you feel about that right now, because I feel like people have been talking about the change in consciousness probably since since I can remember. And maybe it's because I grew up with hippies, but it doesn't seem like the change in consciousness actually maybe it's just not coming fast enough, is the feeling.
Well, I think so many times in our world, in our lives, in our own personal things day to day, we always expect a change. Well, I guess not all of us. I guess there's always part of us that wants things to remain the same and are happy with, or a big side of things that just want things to be the same. And then another part of us wants things to change. And of course, we want them to change for the better, and we want things to be easier, and something's going to happen. All of a sudden this song's going to hit, or all of a sudden these people are going to do something. And you think it's just going to happen, and you keep thinking that, but well, maybe it's going to be a little different than that. And you wake up today and it's just the same as it was yesterday, it seems like. And it's just the same it was last year. But little by little, you notice things are different in your world, in your life. And today you get up and you're going to go play on the Paeonia radio station and talk to people there. And well, you weren't doing that a few years ago. And you're in a place that people are growing all of their own food and growing everything organically in the whole region and the whole zone, and being solar operated. And well, hey, that's kind of different than it was a couple years ago. Things are changing, you know, and there's a shift in a, it may be different than the way we want it to be. Or I may wish that I could be staying in a hotel instead of camping out of the van. You know, I may wish I'd be taking my friends out to dinner instead of them taking me out to dinner or something. And maybe there will happen, or maybe it'll just keep on going just like this. But little by little, you know, this music is playing in more places. People will get messages from people all the time saying they heard it on the radio today and it made them feel good or something. And so those kind of things, you know, maybe they weren't happening a year ago. Maybe a couple years ago I've traveled way less or wasn't even really traveling. So those are positive changes, and there are shifts. And we may want everybody to be all of a sudden say, bam, I'm voting for this, or I'm going to. But little by little, there are places like Colorado and places like Paeonia where these changes are happening, and they've been happening for a long time here. Whereas places like Houston, it's a little behind in a lot of the changes, but you see more and more people coming through in urban gardens and farmers markets and underground music scenes and underground political candidates rising to the top to that actually are doing stuff. So it's just a real gradual thing, I think, and it's a day-to-day thing.
Speaking of that, do you think that the political climate is changing in Texas? Do you think that Beto O'Rourke actually has a chance?
I think so. You see signs up all over the place, and I was inspired by a young person like this that's going at it a whole grassroots way, just going around and talking to people just like the same way I do, the same way you do, the same way that we all do, just people to people, face to face, talking about real things that are in front of their community and then affect all of us. And that's what he's been doing. So just like I said, gradually, and just like you're talking about, there is a change, and you see more and more signs up. And just the other day, I was up in Massachusetts or Vermont or somewhere up in New England, I saw a Beto rainbow bumper sticker on somebody's car. I said,
well, he's getting a lot of national attention. That's
yeah, I
for
guess
sure.
You know about him. But he plays in a lot of the same venues down in Laredo. I'll be playing somewhere, and I know he's coming to speak there next week. And I'm in communication with all his staff when he comes to Galveston to organize venues and organizes places. But he's been down to Texas City, to Galveston, to Houston, and all the towns he gets around and talks and meets people and is changing people's minds around the place.
And if you're just joining us, I'm here with Robert Kuhn, who's visiting from Texas, passing through Paonia on his latest tour. I know that you recorded your last album, Maria the Gun, at the Wolf Island Recording Studio in Dayton, Texas. Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about your process with that.
Oh, this was a really fun process. It took quite a good bit of time, but one of my friends, or a person that was in the music community in Texas, had been building the studio. They are come from a family of farmers outside of Houston, and pretty different than the type of farms you see around here. They have big soy crops and big cotton crops and rice and huge tractors and combines But Kevin, the producer, has been a musician his whole life, and out of the corner of the barn built this amazing studio. You walk in, there's tractors and stuff, and you open a little door in the corner of the barn, and you're walking into Sun Studios, and everything is like isolation booths and organs and all the instruments. And he just had recently finished building the studio and getting everything together and wanted to put out a good project with somebody from around town that had a little bit going behind them, friends of the press and stuff like that. And he liked the new music I'd been playing around town, and we'd played music together before, and said he'd be down to record some songs. So we went in, and first of all, I just laid all the songs down on an acoustic guitar. We'd start about 6 or 7 after all the other work has been done, and then we'd stay in there until 4 o'clock in the morning, just go in and then walk out, and then come back a couple of days later and go again in another session. And little by little, the songs all took shape, and then had them mastered the right kind of way and put it out. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you've traveled through South and Central America, and you've you've done some odd jobs, including you were a fisherman on an island run by drug traffickers.
There was a heavy drug trafficking activity in the whole area, the whole region, that part of the world. The island itself, I lived on the island for a while, and I really made my life on the mainland, in the town north of Bluefields on the Atlantic coast of Nicaragua. And I mean, maybe some of the towns were kind of run by drug runners indirectly, but
it wasn't like you bumped into them every day.
Yeah, you did, but they were part of the town too. You know what I mean? You know, that's what people did. And a lot of the fishermen, the activities overlap because everything goes on the ocean. And the people that work on the sea, sometimes there'd be boat chases where the runners, I feel kind of funny saying this on microphone, like throw everything overboard, and the fishermen will find the stuff at sea, and then all of a sudden the fishermen pick it up, and now that you're holding 1,000 pounds of cocaine or something, now you're a drug runner, so you better do something with it. So
right.
Then all of a sudden, you know, people convert between the two, and then they're broke again, and they're fishing again, you know. So it's just like kind of a part of life. Or maybe they take the money and build a home or build a business and start with that. But it kind of overlaps in society, and it's illegal kind of, but it's also people down there are really
it's not policed particularly.
Yeah, the police are after it more than anybody else. They're trying to get their hands on it too. But in a place that's so.
Where is this, by the way?
Central America.
You're just going to keep it vague.
Yeah. All through Central America, it's going on. But people are so impoverished and poor, there's very, very little money. So any kind of thing like this is a big boost to the economy, the local economy, and people can actually do projects and build homes and build things like that with the money. And that's what happens. So it's kind of, you know, it's a hard accepted reality, people kind of hate it and love it also, because it's a big help for all the communities and all the places down there.
You traveled for nearly a decade, and you were inspired to do this after reading Jack Kerouac's On the Road.
I think that was like what initially put the ideas in the brain when you're like 18, 19 years old, and you kind of get living in Texas, and you realize, oh man, there's this whole world that's down there that you can just cross the border and be in central Guatemala. Mm-hmm. You can just get on a bus, right? Oh, you start to realize, you start taking the buses around town and you see, oh, well, there's this bus station over here where you can just go in this bus station. And for $25, tomorrow I can be down in Monterey or something like that, somewhere down there. And then, just because those thoughts aren't really presented to you too often when you're kind of growing up in an isolated place, I think. And then, I read On the Road. Somebody gave me that book to read, and I was like, whoa, you can go travel all over the place down there.
Yeah.
Just like that. It opened
they
my
don't
whole mind
really
up to that.
Have. I had a friend that was just down there and said they don't really have borders, particularly. Like in a lot of the countries, you just literally walk right into the next country.
Yeah, you can walk right into the next country. Exactly. We actually, I'd been living in Central America for a while, and I was married down there. And we decided we wanted to go back to Texas, and we didn't go get any papers or anything like that. This was before I was married, but we decided we wanted to go back to Texas and do something up there. And we got on the road, and we took a bus up to Honduras and to El Salvador and kept on going. And we got to Mexico, and all of a sudden Mexico, they said, you need to have your papers and visas. And we just saw everybody walking across, all the little Indian people and stuff crossing, walking across the border. So we said, well, let's just walk across and see what happens. And sure enough, we did. We just walked right across. And then we're in Mexico and met some friends that had a bus full of people that were traveling up somewhere. And we got on that bus with them. And lo and behold, we got all the way up to Texas just like that. And about 26 miles from the Texas border.
That's when the borders
things
happened.
Got really heavy, and she was deported and arrested and everything like that. And we were separated for a little while, and then I went to Texas and then went back down to Central America and finished up with whatever I was doing.
Wow. So what do you think of the situation with immigration right now?
It's pretty heavy. Yeah, it's a pretty harsh thing that's going on right now, and it seems just to be getting harsher because. Every one of those people, it's just a soul and a person, just like you and me and everyone, everybody's just doing their thing, trying to survive and surviving the best way they can. And, I'm more for opening things than closing things. That's what I think the best way for, equilibrium is.
I'm here with Robert Kuhn, and he's a singer-songwriter from Texas. We're going to hear the song Higher Ground now off his album, Maria the Gun.
Go run and hide. Take all your valuables and kiss them goodbye. Hold on to anything that you think might last. Well, it's just sinking you down, this living in the past.
Searching for higher, higher ground.
Searching for higher,
higher ground.
Day and whistles through his teeth, breathing up all the extra air for you and I to breathe. He bums a glass of rain and they toss him some smoke. He says, what you think this is but the man, some kind of joke.
Searching for higher,
higher,
higher.
please take your jewels away. It's looking like forgiveness is the only word left to say. Oh, one of these days I'm gonna climb till I can see from sea to shining sea. Searching for higher, higher ground. Searching for higher, higher ground. For higher, higher ground. Searching for higher, higher ground. Some days you up and some days you down, and some days you just searching for higher ground. Searching for higher, higher ground. Searching for higher.
And that was the song Higher Ground from Robert Kuhn, who's here today with me on Talkin' Music. He'll be playing at a couple of places around Paonia. He'll be at the United Pub on September 15th and then Delicious Orchards on September 21st. We were talking about your travels in South America, and I was wondering when you decided that, you know, you were done doing, what brought that to an end, basically?
Closure?
Yeah.
You know, there was kind of a point where I decided I wanted to come back to the States and explore different opportunities that were going on here. And down there, everybody is really just trying, not everybody, but the majority of people are trying their best to get out of Nicaragua or where the country they're in. And it's brutally physical labor, physical labor I think is a good thing and everything, but sometimes it can be just too much, really. And I had a back injury and really made me question if I would be able to sustain being a fisherman and a farmer. And here, a lot of people, the fishing work is done with like lots of machines, and a lot of farming is done with machines. All the machines are people. And when you're having to work for other people to sustain yourself, they can push you pretty hard. And I knew if I could get some capital together and maybe get some funds, I would be able to stop working for other people and may have my own thing going on a little bit more. And that's what a lot of us have, that goal. And so I had the opportunity where I was able to come back to the States and work and find things, explore different opportunities like that. And so I decided to take it with a real goal was to come back, work for 5 years, save as much money as I could, you know, the Central American dream, and go back home and finish the house and finish the everything and be able to set up life a little bit better down there with what I could save and what I could make up here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And that was now 8 years ago, and things have changed since that original plan. Since I've been here, I've been really enjoying life and enjoying music and seeing where it's going, where it's taking me to where I'm happy doing what I'm doing right now. And I don't...
Which is a lot of touring.
Yeah, a lot of touring. Yeah, a lot of touring, yeah. And a lot of music. And with me, I've come to understand really the more music in my life, the better is the way I see it and the way I understand it. And even if some of the other stuff has to be sacrificed or whatever, the more music in my life, the better. So that's kind of what I'm rolling on these days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it would be easy to be addicted to touring too.
Oh, yeah.
Because once you, I know that there are challenges and you don't, maybe sometimes don't feel rooted because you're, you know, living out of a van or whatever. But did you find that in some ways you don't need to have a house and a job and a family to feel rooted. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. You can get into your routines and your rituals that you do every day and your way of life wherever you wake up, whether it's at a truck stop in Cleveland, Ohio, or it's on a beautiful farm in Peonia, or if it's on a beach in New Hampshire. Or you can find your things and that are important to you, and people you make friends once you've been doing it for a little while. You have beautiful relationships all over the place that you want to maintain and build and work with, and then you have your work everywhere you go too. You know, your music, which is always something that's constant, and I don't know, it becomes like a part of life, traveling and waking up somewhere, even though it's always different. But, you know, you have your practices and your meditations and your rituals that make it, you know, and your little vehicle does become your home. And at the end of the day, sometimes when you come home and that you close the doors, you're like, oh, my safe place, you know.
Yeah.
You
know? Nice. Yeah. Well, it's been great talking to you. And I'm here with Robert Kuhn. And we're going to go out with one more song, and this song is called Bonfire.
Thought this would be a good one because there's so many fires in the West right now, and that's just a part of things that's going on in the country that I see as I go traveling around.
There's a bonfire. A jury in despair. There's a boy of 17 with a pipe bomb and a dream, a reclining electric chair. And they say they care. And they say they care. Fire and the temperature's getting higher, and things are